Mother most pure, Mother most chaste, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We all know the theme of this novena, and if we look in the bulletin, we know the vice that we must consider this evening. With all the capital vices, our victory lies in practicing the opposing virtue. And this is most true of the vice we consider this evening. As is always my practice with sermons on this subject, I will not name the vice in question. It gets enough airtime as it is. The world today would never have us stop talking about it. St. Paul says this vice should not so much as be named among us. And tonight we are in the presence of our Blessed Lady. And so we shall only speak of chastity. Chastity is often known as the angelic virtue. But of course, this is only a manner of speaking. The angels do not possess bodies and do not have passions. When we hear in the gospel of unclean spirits, this can only be understood as spirits consumed by pride. For this was the reason for their fall, and why they, although created good like all spirits, are now bad angels. It is, however, the virtue that makes us resemble the angels, and this is why it is often called by this name. But truly, this is the virtue of her who is above all the angels, the virtue of our Blessed Lady. Nothing could be more important than to speak of the glories of this virtue and the glories of her who embodies it more than all the saints. For today, as in the past, the Church finds herself maligned by the world for what it regards as her strict and inhuman rules concerning natural human desire. Such is the inheritance of the gloomy fatalism of the Protestant revolt. As one Elizabethan courtier would complain in verse, "O wearisome condition of humanity, born under one law, to another bound, vainly begot, and yet forbidden vanity, created sick, commanded to be sound. What meaneth nature by these divers laws? Passion and reason, self-division cause." Created sick. Yes, this is the cruel caricature of Christianity that we find at the term of Protestant theology. Man is by nature wretched. His only redemption lies in confessing that he can never obey God's law. Christ has died for him, and God accepts him as he is. Modern thought may forget about God and redemption, but it still insists on accepting man as he is. Thank God that we have the beauty of Catholic truth. Man is created good. His body his soul with its intelligence, will, and appetites are all part of God's loving plan. His nature is wounded, mortally wounded, by original sin. But by the cross of Christ, the work of healing is underway. Christ does not accept man as he is. By grace, he dwells in him and transforms him. Yet even then, he does not destroy man's nature, but builds upon it. And so he takes that deepest human passion, by which the human race increases and multiplies, and crowns it with the virtue of chastity. And in this glorious new dispensation, our Lord presents two paths, two grace-filled channels of our desire. There is the path of holy matrimony, raised by our Lord to the dignity of a sacrament, in which man, created in the image of his Creator, joins in his Creator's work in procreation. And there is the path of perfect continence, a true paradise on earth, where the nuptials of Christ are celebrated already here below by anticipation. And this path may be lived in the world under the rule of religion or in the sacred priesthood. In all these ways of chastity, we find Our Lady as our intercessor and model. Married people should never forget that the first public miracle worked by our Lord in the Gospel was a miracle performed to bring joy to a wedding feast. And this miracle was obtained through the intercession of Our Lady. We find then in the married state the virtue of chastity beautifully joined to compassion, generosity, and obedience. Let it never be said that chastity is not truly a virtue for married people. It is the virtue by which they imitate the love of Christ for his church, as every married couple hears on their wedding day in the Epistle of the Mass, taken from the Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her as a sacrifice. We need only examine the life of Our Lady here on earth with her most chaste spouse, Saint Joseph, to witness the beautiful flowering of the virtue of obedience enshrined in the love of the Holy Family. Our Blessed Lady, too, came from a holy family. This year in Warsaw, we have received the special grace to begin to consider and venerate Our Lady in her sacred childhood under the title of Maria Bambina. And it is at this point that we begin to consider the beauties of the virtue of chastity in the single life. Oftentimes, young adults will ask, is there such a thing as a vocation to single life? The immediate answer is, of course, yes. That is everyone's vocation, the vocation of everyone who reaches adulthood. Everyone must, at least for a time, be called to single adulthood, even if they are later on to embrace the married state or the priesthood or religious life. And in this single state, we find once again Our Lady as compassionate intercessor. Our Lady was already leading the life of perfect chastity in the world when the angel appeared to her. This is how we understand the words that with which she replies to the angel. How shall this be, because I know not man? These words recorded by St. Luke only have meaning if Our Lady had already vowed herself to perfect chastity. Otherwise, why ask such a question of an angel announcing that she, who was already betrothed to a man, would soon give birth to a son? The path then of everyone before embracing another state is already to maintain what we call our baptismal innocence. That is, the innocence which we have from childhood, from the moment that original sin is effaced from our soul, sanctifying grace rushes in, along with all the infused virtues, and we receive that character on our soul for all eternity, which allows us to receive all the other sacraments. This childlike innocence is something that we are all taught to keep and maintain by the example of our Blessed Lady. It is the state which we must find ourselves in if ever we hope to embrace another state of life. And if we never do, that is, if we remain in the world in this state, this is by no means any mark against us, for we are already living according to that state of life in which we shall find ourselves in heaven. Some people, however, are called to go one step further in this way, to live in the world, but not of the world. And so, to leave the ordinary life of men and women, to leave ordinary human society, and live according to a rule of perfection, and observing to the fullest the counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. To such people are reserved especially the words of Our Lady in the presence of Saint Elizabeth: "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." The way of holy religion is the way of unspeakable joy. In the solemn profession of religious, reference is made to the holy sacrament of matrimony. By all means must we sound the glories of this great sacrament, as the Apostle does. But what we hear in that passage taken from the Pontifical is that whereas men and women here below who marry celebrate the sacrament, that is, they celebrate a visible sign of God's invisible grace, those who embrace Christ as their spouse in holy religion receive not the sacrament, but the reality. This is because no other state of life here below comes so close to the holy nuptials of Christ, to the complete marriage of the soul with Christ, which occurs in heavenly glory. This was the life led by Our Lady after her most chaste marriage to St. Joseph. When, as St. Francis de Sales says, she died that long death from the wound of love which she received on Calvary. And so every day increased in her the desire to be dissolved and to be at last with her son. Let us then finally consider Our Lady as the mother of priests and the words which were said to her on Calvary. To prepare ourselves for this thought, let us consider another, not from St. John's Gospel, but from his first epistle, the very opening words. That which was from the beginning, we proclaim, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. Consider these words for a moment. They might well have been uttered by the Holy Mother of God herself. It was she who brought forth her son from the womb, first heard his little voice, met his smiling infant eyes with hers, held his sacred body in her arms. Yet these words are uttered by the Apostle St. John, ordained a priest at the Last Supper, and declared son of Our Lady and her guardian by the mouth of our Lord on Calvary. When he says that he handled the word of life with his very hands, how can we not think of this priest and apostle in the celebration of Holy Mass? And as he had our Blessed Lady with him every day of his life, who can doubt that he was reminded every day by her presence of the perfect purity of hand and heart that he must possess as a minister of Christ and dispenser of the mysteries of God? In the Apocalypse, as we have heard, he declares her to be the Ark of the New Covenant. This very woman he watched over and protected until death. So must every priest of Jesus crucified take her to his own, that he may serve the altar with unspotted purity. Truly, what a boundless joy is it for us to be here with Our Lady tonight and sound the praises of this virtue. With the divine sage, we can cry out, how beautiful is the chaste generation with brightness. Its memory is eternal, for it is known among both God and men. Rejoice, all you married people who generously guard this virtue within your married life and generously give yourselves to the work of raising children. Rejoice all those who live in the world, but keep your baptismal innocence, or if you have lost it, recover it by holy penance. Rejoice all those who are discerning a religious vocation or who have already embraced it. And rejoice all the holy priests of God, sons of Our Lady Most Pure. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Amen.